Hi,
good morning and welcome to the ZP Vlog and Podcast. We do the Vlog and Podcast every Sunday at 8 a.m. London time, and it's really just a wrap-up of the news from Zimmer Peacock for things that we've been up to and articles that we've put out for this week. So I will essentially jump straight into it, and let me go to the first thing that we're going to talk about, which is we did mention last week in the vlog and podcast that we recently did a wearables conference in San Francisco. You know, obviously at Zimmer and Peacock, you know, we do contract development, contract manufacturing. There's a lot of CGM, continuous glucose monitoring, in our portfolios. But we're also interested in kind of the wider wearable cortisol, wearable testosterone, wearable lactate. And by going to this conference, but it was interesting because it was in San Francisco. It definitely always has that kind of technology feel about it in San Francisco. And at the conference, there was a lot of people talking about Meta and the metaverse. So at Zimmer Peacock, it was interesting to go to the conference and, you know, maybe talk about what we do. But also people were talking about the metaverse and actually, this sounds ridiculous, but trying to taste and smell in the metaverse. And even though these are challenging things, it's good that people are at least thinking about these things. And so at Zimmer Peacock, I think we're also going to be very interested in measuring parameters that can sort of help with people's experience in that metaverse. So thank you for the team for going, and thank you for the sort of listening so diligently. And if you're interested in sensors in the metaverse, and we do have this covered on our blog on the ZP website. Some other news from Zimmer and Peacock for this week was we've also, I know, you know, we do a lot of things at ZP in the liquid phase, and we have mentioned this, but we've been progressing into the gas phase recently. You know, the kind of three common states of matter on the planet are, people know about, a solid state, gas phase, and liquid phase. And at ZP, we've been doing some more and more work in the gas phase. And so we did put out some more data on a carbon monoxide sensor that we've developed. So this carbon monoxide sensor, it can actually go up to 700 degrees Celsius. And we've stressed it at 700 degrees Celsius for 60 minutes just to make sure that it was good. So we're very happy, let's say, with that sensor, and happy that, you know, it's not only a carbon monoxide sensor, but it's also a high temperature carbon monoxide sensor. So thank you to the team for testing that and also developing on that. So we're very pleased with our results there. Now at ZP, we do have a range of sensors. And I mean, even just recently, the range of sensors has increased to also include things like ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And we'll talk about it in a minute, but also the range of sensors or methods has also extended to cough suites. But I'm just there saying there's a large range. Now, one of our engineers was recently hiking in the sort of Norwegian hills and mountains. There's an image on the website. One thing I didn't appreciate that in Norway, they seem to have quite a large sheep population. But anyway, that said, the reason that we were talking about hill sheep farming in Norway is because many of our sensors can actually play an environmental role. So we have our conductivity sensor, which can be used for measuring salinity. You know, in that you can measure the sort of environment when people are doing water, basically extracting drinking water from seawater. The sodium sensor is similar as well, that it can actually measure, you know, the salinity. We have a phosphate sensor. There is a problem in lots of rivers and coastal areas of nutrient enrichment, which is then leading to, unfortunately, pollution. I just want to say hi to Saran this morning. Saran has joined us, so thank you very much to Saran for joining us this morning. So one of our engineers, she was up on the mountains. She suggested the phosphate sensor because it's good for nutrient measuring. We also have an ammonium sensor. And I think when you've got urine and such things, you can also have ammonium as a source of nutrients. So you may want to measure nutrients in the water as well, and ammonium being one of them. Calcium is really interesting, actually. Calcium, the hardness of water that people sometimes experience, is in part linked to the cation calcium. So it's interesting to measure calcium. And so we also have a sensor for that, which is pretty useful for measuring environmental. And then you should never forget pH. So we have our solid state pH sensor, which is really unique. Our chloride sensor, again, this is linked to salinity. This is an important one now, our oxygen sensor. Our oxygen sensor can measure dissolved oxygen. And so whether a water course is deoxygenated and therefore anaerobic, when things are anaerobic, I think they describe them then as sort of brackish. You kind of get bacteria growing and you can get a kind of a smell and the whole thing looks a bit, doesn't look too nice. And I think it's essentially going into a sort of bad state. Then you can have aerobic systems where, you know, you've got running water and there's plenty of oxygen in the water and therefore there's plenty of fish. So our oxygen sensor can help there. And then we also have our nitrate sensor, and this is again linked to sort of nutrients, you know, in the environment. Naturally, there's not necessarily high levels of nitrate in the water courses, but of course with modern farming that can happen. So one of our engineers was hiking and she sort of, you know, raised the fact that our sensors can play a big role in environmental sensing. And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. I, you know, completely see that. And I do appreciate the insights that our engineers provide to us. This is a bit of a personal favorite for me from this week. We have really an excellent team of electromechanical engineers. And we're good at our electrochemistry. So we do understand how to do electrodepositions, electroplating, electropolymerization, electroabsorption techniques. We know how to do these things, but sometimes you need to do it on an object that is very different, you know, in terms of you can't just use a standard electroplating jig. And so our engineers, as part of our electroplating services, actually develop new jigs. And, you know, so we're very appreciative of those. And also it's very good that actually the guys are able to talk about this and put it into the public domain and take these really nice images. So thank you to the team for doing that, and they know exactly who they are, so thank you very much. I also, every Thursday, we do a ZP developer zone. I mean, the ZP developer zone is very important to us. This is a way of us giving value back to the community that wants to develop or utilize sensors. And so this week we had questions about pH sensors, measuring glycine, measuring electrolytes, using microneedles, and also glucose strips and CGM. So every week we do this ZP Developer Zone webinar. It's 8 a.m. London time. This week we had I personally had a few internet issues and it got a little bit delayed, but all fixed. But I like the fact that there's five questions there, and they're sort of related, but they're also a very mixed bag of things that we cover in those webinars. So I think they can be quite informative. Now, this is a personal favorite of mine and something that is moving ahead. And I'm glad that some of our engineers are online this morning, because we have this really cool, let's say, robot in one of our sites. And this week we just took a quick video because one of the engineers at that site, he's developed essentially a sort of carrier board. What this carrier board does, it allows us to take individual screen printed electrodes or individual electrodes and put them onto the robot, essentially head, and then the robot can actually move those electrodes around from station to station and bring them, dip them into solutions, bring them out of solutions. And because we have a parallel potentiostat also in that particular facility, it allows us to electrochemically address electrodes and do processes on there. At the moment, we might do these kind of processes manually. Sometimes, you know, we're pipetting solutions on and off screen printed electrodes. But we also do have a robot that can process, you know, tens of electrodes at a time and do this. And of course, we could scale this up by simply doubling and tripling the robots that we actually have. But it's just to say that we've recently had an improvement in it that the guys now have made. The head of the robot have a slide-in, slide-out PCB that we can then populate with screen-printed electrodes. So it's a super useful tool for us and something that we're implementing in our manufacturing processes. So well done to the guys for working on our robots. Now, this week, ZP, we were actually at some conferences, and they were very digital healthcare centric. And so we kind of, you know, came across some very interesting concepts. One of them is a sort of virtual ward. And really, a virtual ward is, it is uneconomic and not in the best interests of the patients to always be kept in hospital. I mean, the things that can go wrong in hospitals are, you know, I don't want to be morbid on these things, but there are hospital-borne or hospital-acquired infections. If you visit a hospital, at least in the UK, there'll be plenty of posters on the wall that say, wash your hands, you know, hospital-borne infections. So there are bacteria in hospitals that you really don't get anywhere else, and these are very resistant bacteria. So hospitals are not always the best places for people. And so if you can actually arm people with technology so that they can actually go home but still be monitored. I mean, the most obvious one is a sort of pulse oximeter that can measure their oxygen levels in their blood, and it's sort of Bluetooth talking to their phone, and then the phone is sending the data back to a server. That would be an obvious way of having somebody away from the hospital but still being monitored, and you could simply do it with ECG as well. So at Zimmer & Peacock, obviously, we like to do things that are a little bit harder. And so we do have a technology stack, which we call Sensor to API. And this week we talked about Glucose to API. But what that means is, if I said the term Glucose API, which is a bit more specific, is you measure somebody's glucose, but you're immediately getting that data to the cloud. And we're able to do that because we have the sensors, we have the electronics, we have the apps. The apps provide connectivity to our Julie database. We can get the raw data in there, and then you can call upon the Julie database using an API call, an application program interface. So it's just to say that at Zimmer & Peacock, you know, we do go to a lot of conferences. It helps us stay informed, helps us stay up to date. And when we're there, you hear about these kind of applications where, as I say, they talk about virtual wards, and we realize that we can also play a good role, let's say, in virtual wards. Now, last but really not least, this is the most fun thing I would say that we released this week. We did some work a little while ago analyzing cough drops. And because we have this platform we call OmniSense, we're actually able to turn these things into products really rapidly. I mean, the story to this was that you can buy confectionaries for treating coughs. They've often got menthol and eucalyptol in them. And they might come in sort of three flavors: cherry, original, extra strong. And these cherries, original, and extra strong all have different amounts of actives in them. And we were able to take these cough drops, make a solution of them, test them on our sensors, and actually demonstrate that we were able to determine or distinguish between the three different flavors. And because this is Zimmer & Peacock, we were able to quickly, using our OmniSense platform, actually turn that into a product. So thank you to the team for doing that. And really kind of a very fun, interesting way of, you know, using electrochemistry. So if I was to summarize this week, I think that's really quite an eclectic, I don't want to say bunch of stuff, but it's a good reflection of what we do. You know, we've been to San Francisco, we've learned about the metaverse and the use of sensors there. We've been developing our own high temperature carbon monoxide sensor, so learning and science from Zimmer & Peacock. We've been thinking about using our sensors in environmental applications, but then also our engineers have been working hard on developing new test jigs and rigs in order to electroplate onto customer specific projects. Don't forget, if you've got any technical questions on Zimmer & Peacock, we have our webinar every Thursday at 8 a.m. And then our engineers have been working on robotics for a robot that really can manufacture electrochemical biosensors. Virtual wards, the idea that you're monitoring patients remotely, continuously and remotely. And I think it's both in the interest of economics, but more importantly, in the interest of the patients. And then lastly, Zimmer & Peacock, we use electrochemistry. Electrochemistry can deal with very dirty, let's say, non-transparent samples like cough suites, and so well done to the team for developing a new methodology for analyzing cough suites. So I think that's it for this week. Thank you very much to... Oh, I just want to say hi to Aftab this morning. Nice to see him, and I want to apologize to him because I think he's got affected by my internet issues, but you can see we've fixed all of that. And just as a personal call to Aftab, if people are interested in glucose to API, do let me know and we'll generate some more material around that. So I just want to say thank you very much. I want to say have a good week. Thank you to Saran, and thank you to Aftab, and you guys take care, and I will speak to you all soon.